Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Live from Training Camp 2018, inside the walls of UC Health Training Center, presented by Matthews Fine Watches and Jewelry. Here's Schlereth than Evans.
Hey, good Wednesday morning. Welcome in, UC Health Training Center. Mark Schlereth sitting in for Mike Evans as he recovers from open heart surgery, and he's doing great. So thank you for all your prayers, all your concerns, all your well wishes. We really appreciate it. But Mike is doing great. He joined the program yesterday. And alongside me, we have Troy Rank, Denver 7 Broncos insider, also Rockies insider. And, you know, that's where I want to start. Troy, well, first off, good morning, man. How are you, buddy?
Fantastic. Good to be here. Pleasant day. Sun coming out. It's all good.
It's all, no, it is all good. Anytime you're out here, you got the freshly mowed grass, and things are good out here. So, you know, yesterday, I mean, a lot of stuff going on. I went to the Rockies game last night. What a shellacking that was. Chad Bettis, as you mentioned, you know, Bulldog, going to try to get you through six innings and maybe three runs. Didn't really go that way yesterday for Chad Bettis. Struggled a little bit yesterday against that Pittsburgh Pirate team.
Yeah, when he missed, he got punished. And Chad's working with a new grip on his fastball because of that blister on his finger. Well, I don't know if that's part of it, but the command wasn't there. And he's a guy that doesn't have a lot of spin on his pitches, so he's got to really rely on precise location, and he didn't have it last night. I mean, simple, he was basically a two-pitch pitcher last night, fastball, curveball, and they were spitting on off-speed stuff and sitting on fastballs and getting into good counts. So it was unfortunate. You know how much Chad wanted that game, but they got to find a way to keep clawing because, again, they have one more with the Pirates today and then four with the Dodgers, which, you know, that those are season-type defining series.
I think one of the interesting things for Chad, for me anyhow, is when he is really good, it's his changeup that handcuffs hitters. And when you watch him in favorable counts, he throws that change to guys, and that thing just drops off a table. He does such a good job with that. When that wasn't there, when he couldn't command that, and like you said, they were just spitting on fastballs right and left, right after the first inning. I think it was the first inning where Marte hit the deep shot right to center field. I mean, straightaway center. And you always know, you know, I was hoping it would stay in the park, but you always know when the outfielders take two steps and they just stop. Like, those guys have such a good sense of, you know, I mean, that's what they do for a living. They're like, oh, no, that one's gone. So that one's history.
And when they don't move at all, it's even worse.
Right, yeah, when they don't move at all, you're exactly. I will say this, though. You know, I got to video. Every time Charlie Blackman got up, I put it on video, and then I just erased it. And then I did get capture the 1,000th, that's easy for me to say, Troy, 1,000th hit.
Oof. Of his career.
Yeah, 1,000th hit of his career. So I got that. I put it on my Instagram page at Mark Schlereth. So it was really cool, man. It was cool to see that. That was pretty much the only highlight of the night, was Charlie hitting a single to right field. Other than that, the Rockies took a pounding, took a beating from, what's the kid's name, Italian?
James Italian. Yeah, Italian pitched well, man.
Yeah, he did.
He pitched really well. The Pirates have been one of the hotter teams in baseball. They'd cooled a little bit coming into Coors, but you can see the makings of a solid team there. And then I think they get Archer today, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I think they do, which, you know, obviously Archer, the guy from Tampa Bay who was so good for so long. So that's going to be another really tough matchup because that kid can pitch as well. Hey, so yesterday, practice in general, you know, you talk to some of the coaches walking off the field, kind of shaking their heads on the offensive side of the ball. Really sloppy day. Ton of balls on the ground. There were fumbles. There were sacks. There were just drop passes. There were dirt balls. I mean, it was an ugly day of practice yesterday. I don't know what you saw, Troy, but cause for concern?
Well, it was just a little uneven, a little sloppy, as you mentioned. Defense did a blitz package against the offense, pressure package, and the offensive line did not handle that well at all. I mean, it was just a mad scramble fire drill, and that, you know, that gave the, you know, part of practice a bad look. But you're right, they weren't as sharp yesterday, and some of that is this point in camp, they're ready to hit somebody else, as you know. I mean, it's human nature to want to kind of go against a new opponent. They start to know everything they're doing. They kind of sense it, and so you feel like, you know, is this really fair? I know, you know, in my athletic days years ago, when you scrimmage for so many times, there becomes this point, like, everything I do, they know I'm doing, and then you start to create some animosity with your own teammates about it, that play would work if you didn't know it was coming. So part of it is just it's time for a real game or a fake game, but it's time for an exhibition game.
For a different opponent?
Cause for concern, I wouldn't say that. Only time I'll be concerned about this camp is if the offense takes a step backward, because that's what would sabotage their season. We've seen it the last 2 years.
Yeah, and I will say this. Yesterday was a bit of a step backwards for me. And, like, I understand that principle that you talk about, like, hey, you guys know what we're doing. Here's how I always felt as a player. I don't care if you know what we're doing. I'm still going to beat you. Like, that's the kind of mentality that this offense needs to get to. And yesterday in that blitz pickup, the blitz pickup, just listen to the drill. Like, listen to what it's blitz pickup. It's not like the offense didn't know the blitz was coming.
Right.
You know the blitz is coming. We know it's coming. And we couldn't pick it up yesterday. And the thing that concerns me, Troy, with lack of depth in young players is that you saw the lack of depth, the lack of football knowledge, the lack of really being in tune with what we're doing rear its ugly head. And that, for me, is cause for concern. Because I guarantee you there's a couple things that Case Keenum can't do. You put Case Keenum in a situation like he was in the NFC Championship, where he's under duress, he's under pressure, you got to hold on to the ball, and bad things are going to happen. That's a football team that needs to get guys out in the route, needs to have quick hitting plays, needs to be on time, accurate with the football, put it exactly where it needs to be, and let his guys catch and run. And if he doesn't have that, he's not a 6'5" stand in the pocket, drive up the pocket, climb the pocket and drive it down the football field. That's not who he is. And so you're going to have to be better in protection. And, there's so many different things that I would look at. Like, there's a reason that Booker is the number one back in this camp, because the young backs were awful in blitz pickup. They didn't understand. They didn't close ground. They didn't – like, one of the things about a back, you'll watch great blitz pickup guys. They understand – they have this sense of urgency and this built-in clock. Young players, when it comes to blitz pickup, even when you know who you got. So you've got a linebacker. You're tied one-to-one with a linebacker. And you wait in the backfield. You take one step up, and then you wait for that linebacker. First, he's got a running start at you. Secondly – you're away from the line of scrimmage, so now he can run you over, he can choose an outside path, he can choose an inside path, whatever best suits his pass rush mode, and you're just kind of stuck. Young backs have trouble closing that ground. You need to eat ground. So a young back needs to be in the line of scrimmage. You need to come in the line of scrimmage, because what happens? Now, if you choose that inside path, you're tripping over feet, you're tripping over legs, you're tripping over bodies on that inside path. Therefore, I've eliminated one real option for you. I've eliminated, and if it's an inside blitz pickup, meaning I'm in between the guard and the tackle, now if I eat up that ground and close that distance, now outside you choose outside, you're tripping over the tackle's legs. You choose inside, you're tripping over the guard's legs. There's no body. So now what do you have to do? You got to run over me. So now I've eliminated those. So that's the awareness that I'm talking about with young players and guys who don't practice all the time. Those are the things you need to be able to do. And you want to talk about depth chart and the fact that, Booker's still number one on the depth chart. Well, I guarantee you why.
Because of pass pro.
Because of that stuff. That's the nuance of football that this team on the offensive side did not display yesterday, and that's a cause for concern. It was sloppy, but what was the biggest struggle? VJ weighs in next.
Mark Schlereth here. When you're looking to replace your windows, you want the best. That's why I endorse Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. They sell Infinity from Marvin fiberglass windows. You can't buy Infinity windows from big box stores, so you know they never compromise on quality. Infinity fiberglass windows offer unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and durability. So call my friends at Gravina's Window Center of Littleton, 303-794-0490, or find them online at windowsforyourhome.com, and make sure you tell them Stink sent you.
Hey, welcome back to Schlereth and Evans, live from UC Health Training Center. Mark Schlereth along with Troy Rankus. The Broncos get ready to, I guess get out here and do it again on practice day 10, day 11, something of that nature. It's what?
It's 10.
Scott Duff informs me it's 10, day 10. Day 10.
There we go. Okay. I'm thinking of the barbecue. I've started in training camp for
you.
Media on the barbecue.
So it's for the Broncos, it's day 10 as they come out practice for day 10. For Troy, it's day 11. Because he started with a barbecue and eating, which is
eating always counts.
So I mentioned, you know, I went to the Rockies game last night, which was, you know, pretty much an abject disaster. But I sat in the Aramark box, so I had a lot of food, and I ate like I was going to starve to death at any moment. So I've got to I'm just fat. But here's
the point. I eat because I'm unhappy. Yeah. I'm unhappy because I eat.
I could, but it was good, and Aramark did. It did me a solid. They put my green chili out.
Yeah,
and
see, there you
they
go.
Had a bunch of chimichangas. I mean, I just loaded my green chili on Aramark food. It was awesome. It was just great. The game, not so good. The food, tremendous. The food and the atmosphere, tremendous. The game, not so good. But while I was out doing that, you got to watch Hard Knocks Cleveland Browns. I did not see it last night. I'll go back. You know, they'll replay it 18,000 times, so I'll go back and watch it. But just really quick before we get into what VJ said about the offense, what was your impressions of Hard Knocks? I mean, did you kind of where are you at with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always intrigued because I've told you this. I like the behind-the-scenes look, and they mm-hmm. do a good job in terms of personal profiles on guys and their off-field interests, some of the stuff that is hard to chronicle in the way the NFL is structured in the media. But if it hasn't jumped the shark, they can see the ramp from here.
Uh-huh.
It's a little played out. Unfortunately, there was a somber tone to it because Hugh Jackson – and I think I remembered one of these, but he lost his brother and his mom right as training camp started. Both passed away, you know. So he was in a rough spot, and they're trying to comfort him, and he wants to work through it because he knows, I mean, how important it is that they kind of have this cleansing of a season. I mean, they were 0-16 last year, so that's a weird vibe of training camp,
right?
Because it's a somber vibe. There's no way around that. The featured characters, as you might imagine, are Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry. Those are the main guys they're focusing on so far. And again, there's a few parts that were interesting when Baker signed his contract with the Mills, who were from Boulder. You know, that was a kind of a cool mm-hmm. scene if you know the Mills, who are from Colorado and been here forever. But
then that's the Mills or the agent,
the
right?
Agents, yeah. Jack and Tom Mills. That was kind of cool to see the moment, you know, behind the scenes. But you can just see why the Browns struggle. I mean, Hugh Jackson, he's trying to get it right. You just don't know if there's enough players who are buying in. I mean, they say all the right things. And the thing I found fascinating, they had a team meeting. They have a coaches meeting before they break down into team meetings.
Uh-huh.
They have them. Hugh Jackson's like above them in his seat, and they have all the coaches below him, and like, hey, now's your time to air your piece. Do you have any issues? And they had read off who wasn't available for practice. I know this would have probably drawn your ire, but they're like, so-and-so's not playing, so-and-so's not playing. And this one coach is the new running backs coach. I think it was Kitchen. He's like, listen, I get it, but at some point these guys got to practice. We can't get better if we got like nine guys not practicing. And then Todd Haley, who was pretty mellow, I would think at some point in this he's going to have a ballistic temper.
He's going to blow out.
But he was like, listen, Hugh, we got to get guys on the field. I know you're trying to get them to the finish line here, but we can't get better without getting that guys on the field. And Jackson's like, you don't see it the way I see it from my seat. I used to see it from that seat, and I get what you're saying, but this is how this is going to work. If we practice those guys, they're not going to finish. They're not going to get to where we want to go. So anyone else have an issue? And I'm thinking, what you're doing is not working, though. Like, you're protecting guys who aren't producing that haven't earned that type of respect.
Right.
So Haley, he kind of put his hat down, kind of like, and then he said, but on a positive note, we are making progress. Okay, meeting adjourned.
Yeah, meeting adjourned. We're good. You know, it's really interesting. When I was at Saints camp the other day, and I talked to a couple coaches about this yesterday here in Broncos camp, it's really interesting because, you know, and again, you come off like the old dude that just is angry about things.
That's you.
Yeah, but that is me. But,
get off my lawn!
But the funny thing about it is this is what these players know, and this is really hard. Like, getting through this is really hard, and it is. It's physical, and you're in pads, and you're hitting each other, and you're doing all these things. And this, to them, is really hard. what it used to be, though, this is like, I mean, this is seriously like lollipop camp to compare to what it used to be, but this is what they know. And I was talking to Dan Campbell about this with the Saints, and he's like, I mean, you can't hold them accountable because they don't know any better. This is really a grind to them, and that's because that's all they've ever been exposed to, and this goes all the way back to, you know, growing up and playing football. So this is where we are with camp right now, and, you know, Hugh Jackson understands it. I don't think you're as calloused as you used to be, and maybe because you don't practice like you used to, maybe guys are a little bit fresher, a little bit faster, so maybe some of the collisions are a little bit greater than they used to be, you know, so I can see that, but what used to be training camp compared to what is training camp now under a new collective bargaining agreement, two completely different animals. But I get it. Like, this is what you know, so this is exactly what you think is tough. VJ, real quick, had this to say about practice yesterday and his concerns.
They struggled a lot, and that's why we do it. You know, it's a team pass period, and, you know, Billy's been great at calling good plays versus our defense the first week and a half. But today we called five-man pressures, okay, versus a pressure packet. So we want to have our offense and have the ability to block, you know, block pressure without maxing up all the time. You know, we want to get four guys out. You know, we can always block the back, the tight end, and get three guys out with three wides, or get two guys out with two backs and two tights. But to be effective in the pass game, you want three and four guys out.
And yesterday, that was just it. Five-man protections versus blitz pickup, and there's several things that have to work in unison. You have to understand where guys are coming from. You have to attack. I always say take the passive out of pass protection. You have to attack, and you got to give your quarterback an opportunity to get rid of the ball, right? And the receivers, that comes on the receivers. You got to win right now. You got to give them a target. You got to win right now. And from a blitz pickup standpoint, you got to stud up in those five-man blitzes, and you ought to pick that up with five guys, and yesterday was a disaster. Yesterday, that did not get done, and that's a real concern, especially with what has gone on the last two seasons, Troy.
Do you see that also as a function of the offensive line? Because you had mentioned the running backs, the pass pro was a big problem yesterday, but is that just a simple communication, or is it recognition? Is it a combination thereof?
Combination thereof, and it's combination of guys. I would say the nuance of understanding when a guy is coming off an edge, what the guy you have to block is going to do, the reaction. And that's where young players like a Bowles, that's where he needs to grow up and grow up quick. We'll talk about that further in a bit, but I'm fat. It's just the way it is. You're kind of fat, too.
I'm svelte.
Yeah, you're fat, too, and I think I have the answer to both of that fatness equation, and that's next in the Morning Brew.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evan.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
And this is in the air to left field. Luplo's got it, and the Pirates have secured themselves a 10-2 victory at a complete game for Jameson Taillon.
Jameson Taillon, he was great yesterday. The Pirates pretty much just shelled the Rockies pitch. And that was one of those ugly losses. But here's the beauty. You know, like, you can still win this series. And that's what the Rockies need to focus on. They're coming out today. I believe Chris Archer's pitching versus Marquez. Marquez has been great the last month or so. He's been really good. So there is hope. You can come away with a victory. You can come away with a series win, and the Dodgers coming in next. So good things to look forward to, Troy.
Well, it's all in front of them. You know, they've put themselves in a precarious position by getting walked off three times on that road trip because they don't have a lot of margin for error now. The schedule, you can feel it starting to scrunch, and especially when you're in home, Mark, when you're in a pennant race, you know that every game you lose at home, it feels like two at times. But you're right. win a series. That's the way the mindset of teams I've covered that get to the finish line, they think in terms of win a series, win a series, win a series, and look up at the end. Teams that say, oh, we got seven home games, we got to go 6-1. We got to go 7-0. That almost never works out because you just don't have the starting pitching to roll out those kind of streaks. So they're still in position, but today's a big day, especially with the Dodgers coming in.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. These are big. Like, we've talked about this for a while, but this is a big series coming in here, and it'll be interesting to see exactly where they fall, if they can get hot again like they were going into the All-Star break. Next on the Morning Brew.
So you're telling us that all we got to do is put $100,000 in the bank,
yep,
and let the sit there.
100%.
Let it sit.
Don't touch it.
Interest.
It's called interest, and it's so easy.
That's from the Browns, Hard Knocks and training camp, talking about interest, compound interest, and explaining that to rookies about saving their money. And I don't know about the bank getting 10% in the bank, but there are some investments you can get some pretty good money. But it is interesting. And here's the thing, you know, the NFL puts all these programs together. You know, they put program. I don't think the players, this is my experience, players don't trust. Like, they don't trust the suits. You know what I mean? Like, they've never trusted the suits. So when they come in and try to explain to you, it's great to have a player explain it. A player that says, hey, listen, you can do this. You can save your money. You can set yourself up for retirement. You can set yourself up for life after football. But when the league tries to do it, everybody's just like, okay, this is kind of leery, right?
Here comes
the
suit. They're onto something.
Yeah, here comes the suit trying to tell us what to do. They don't like that.
Well, the idea he's trying to at least give him a hint of long-term investments.
Yeah.
You know, I covered baseball players. Vinny Castilla's last contract with the Rockies was like $2.1 million, and then he got like $1 million up front and then $100,000 every year for 11 straight years.
Right.
Type thing. I mean, he had seen, you know, the end, he could see the end of his career,
right.
And that kind of money is hard to come by once you walk out of professional sports.
Right.
I mean, I remember Todd Jones, a Rockies reliever, told me, one point, he's like, well, I was just going to the media. What do you guys make, like 300, 400,000?
Right.
And I was like, come again? What was that last part?
Exactly.
I think you missed a few commas. That comma needs to move over. And I said, the only one.
He used to write for like
the Sporting News.
News.
That's
right?
What he was saying. He's like, I'll just go into the media. And I was like, I said, that's a cool little freelance gig you got going with Sporting News. But to do it for a career outside of like Woody Page at that point, like at our paper, I said, there's a couple people making bank, as they should. They're the hallmark of our paper and they're the brand. But
right.
I said, the rest of us are, you know, we're living just normal wages, man. We're media, you know, we're middle class lifestyle. But
right.
He said that figure and I was like, what was that like?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Right.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, you don't really understand how it works. And there's very few guys that kind of make it big time in that business once you're done playing. I mean, it's hard to do.
But good for Carl. He got called out. He did have a funny line in that segment about how you have to be smart with your investments. And he's like, I met Taylor Swift. I don't know if he called her Tay-Tay, but he's like, I met her, and I was going to break out the Rolex and go buy one for it. Was a meet and greet.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was like, but I couldn't do it. I had to be smart about it. Then they put the picture of his meet and greet with Taylor Swift in the team meeting. It was pretty funny. He got kind of embarrassed. He didn't deny that he was a Taylor Swift fan, but he's like, I was going to buy a Rolex just for the meet and greet,
right.
But I had to stop myself. I had to be smart.
Right. Hey, who's not a Taylor Swift fan? Next on the Morning Brew.
That guy in a little coat.
Don't.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
Take it off. Serious.
Richard, what's happening?
Hey, Noah Spence from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers gained 35 pounds this offseason. Said he ate 9 meals a day at 9,000 calories, and I just figured out why I'm fat. That's what I've been doing. I have got to stop eating. I can't, though.
You probably ate, what did you guys eat as a lineman during your career, around 10,000 calories a day?
I ate whatever I wanted to eat is what I ate.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the reasons, it's hard, you know, like for me, like maintaining the weight, like staying heavy enough to play offensive line was like a full-time job.
Yeah, to like it was eat all the time.
All the time. Just, and I would eat like, you know, garbage. That's why I'm like a human garbage disposal right now. I've got to be careful. Things aren't going well.
Michael Schofield was telling me in all seriousness how he kept his weight on. He would literally have to set, because when he got here, he was like 280 or whatever, and they like, you got to play around 310. Like, you can't play in the league at 284 or whatever. He was practically setting his alarm to remind him to eat. You know, you got to have food here at 10. You got to eat again at 1. You got to wake up at the night, eat at 4. You got to eat late so it sits.
Yeah.
But the hard part is I talk to people who've had trouble gaining weight, which I'm not one of them, is that they learn to hate food, though, because you're forced to eat.
You know, it's funny. When I first retired, I went from 85, like between 285 and 290, like within probably 6-8 weeks, I was like in the 240s.
Just from not eating?
Right. Like I would go on 4 or 5 day fasts. Like I just don't, like I've eaten my whole life since I was 15. It was like a full-time job, which sounds good. You know, that sounds fun, but actually it was not a lot of fun. So it was great just to say, I don't have to eat anymore. I don't have to force myself. Somehow I've gotten back to the old habits though. Old habits die hard, Troy.
My issue with eating is stress from writing on deadline.
Okay, that's the
like
excuse.
I don't eat. I don't like when I write through it. When I was covering baseball, you don't eat from like 3 until 9 or 10,
and then
because you're on deadline,
right,
and then when you
yourself.
Eat at night, it's like, and what's available when you're coming out for a game? Fast food. So you're eating, but you're starving.
Right.
So you eat like, I'll have a double hamburger, fries with dress. You know, it's just like, and it's,
let's go eat a damn snack.
It's 1:30 in the morning. Yeah. So
can you have a couple of packets of ranch? I just want to pour it over the burger. Next on the Morning Brew.
And what's it gonna do when Hulkamania and the largest arms in the world run wild on you?
Hulk Hogan visits Tampa Bay Bucks training camp. Probably just a, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of, I guess it's kind of cool. I mean, it used to be like when John Madden used to show up to your practices, like, and John Madden's going to call your game. That was really cool. I'm sure there's some times your beat writer covering the Rockies that some celebrities showed up, right? It's kind of cool to see those guys. It kind of gets exciting when those guys roll into town. I mean, I've got a couple. You know what? Here's what we're going to do, Troy, because I want to hear your stories, and I don't want to play. We got to decide if the one-up game, because I have the all-time best celebrity in the locker room story. I think it's the all-time best. I'm going to tell my story, but I want to hear your best celebrity story in the locker room. I'll probably let you go first on this, okay? Because I am that guy that's just going to one-up you. So coming up next, I'm going to one-up Troy on celebrity stories in the locker room. That's next on Schlereth than Evans.
And what's it going to do when Hulkamania and the largest arms in the world run wild on you?
All right, so that's Hulk Hogan. As you can tell, he showed up at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers training camp. We're live from UC Health training camp right here. Troy Rank alongside Mark Schlereth. So, Troy, I mean, you covered the Rockies forever. You've covered the Broncos for quite some time. Biggest celebrity story, and I told you I'm going to trump it because that's what I do. I one-up your story. So give me your biggest celebrity sighting or your biggest celebrity story that showed up. Or I'm going to try to trump. Maybe I can't trump this. Now I'm a little bit nervous that I've made this claim. I think I'll trump it. But go ahead. Your biggest celebrity story.
I mean, I've been fortunate enough because in a baseball clubhouse, they bring people through. So I'll just list some, and then you can debate whether it's bigger than yours. But
see, I have a story attached because you know what a knucklehead I am, right? So, but go ahead. No pressure.
Wayne Gretzky was at the Dodgers game with Todd Zeal. Todd Zeal knew everyone. Kevin from King of Queens, the actor, was with Todd Zeal multiple times. The rock group Live, the rock group REO Speedwagon, met at Coors Field before concerts. I think they say the boxer Julio Cesar Chavez came through there. But in terms of the any country music singer you could pick, Tim McGraw, Faith Hill during the All-Star game.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
But I would say my most memorable for me, because I grew up as a fan, was during a Super Bowl. And talking politics with Gene Simmons of Kiss while he was in full makeup during a press conference. And Cher was in that press conference. I think she was singing the national anthem, and Kiss was a pregame entertainment. And they asked Cher, do you know Gene Simmons, whom she had dated in a previous life? She's like, only in the deepest sense of the word. I was sitting next to Gene Simmons. It was just so bizarre because as a kid, Kiss Alive 2 were like two of my favorite albums.
Right.
And so I would say that's just memorable because of my childhood, that it was Gene Simmons of Kiss in makeup.
All right. Well, no, that's pretty, like Gene Simmons is pretty cool. I saw him at Fox when I was doing Fox in New York, you know, is in the Fox building where they do all the Fox News stuff, right? And so I'm walking in, and Gene Simmons is checking in at the front desk. And I was surprised because I didn't have a lot of time, so I didn't stop and talk to him. But as I walk by him, he's a pretty tall dude. He's about probably 6'2". You know, so he's not like your typical celebrity who usually are quite small.
Mel Gibson, I was next to in Yankee Stadium, and he's roughly 4'7".
Yes.
He's not tall.
No, he's not tall. Most guys in the celebrity world are not that tall. Okay, so let me take you back. 1991, the Redskins are cutting through people like poop through a goose, right? I mean, we are just crushing teams. And Kevin Costner comes to practice right after he had filmed Dancing with Wolves, right?
Right.
So Kevin Costner at the time is the biggest A-list celebrity actor on the planet. Like, he is big time, right? Academy Award winning type of guy. So anyhow, he comes out to practice, and he's a big fan. You know, he's a big baseball fan.
Big baseball
fan.
Yes.
Big baseball fan, but he's a big sports fan in general. And so I have this propensity to treat everybody like they're part of the locker room. And, you know, just start flipping your grief, right? That's just kind of my nature.
No.
Right. And sometimes, you know, sometimes, a lot of times, I think I'm really funny and I'm actually just offensive. And I have a habit of alienating celebrities. You know, a lot of people will look at me like, that guy's a jerk, right?
It's not just celebrities. It's pretty much all of us.
It's pretty much everybody. Okay. So, but, like, I'm including you. Like, you're part of the group. Like, you came in the locker room. Like, you're going to. So, we're hanging out. We had this habit on Fridays of it was me and Jimmy Lachey and Ralph Tam and a couple other guys where we would, on Fridays, was arms and shoulders days. Look at the shoulders. He's a monster, right? I was like, Uther, the shoulders are so big and large. So I'm doing my arms. I'm doing my shoulders, you know, and I am just yoked. Like, I'm yoked up. And Kevin Costner comes around, and we're taking pictures, and I start flipping him some grief about stuff, right? Like, whatever. I'm just flipping him grief, and he's not responding. Like, he is, like, he's put off a little bit by it. I don't know if it's that he's a celebrity or he's just like he's kind of nervous because there's a bunch of 300-pound dudes hanging around flipping him grief, right? So he doesn't respond. He doesn't go. There's no back and forth there. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, I'm done with you. Like, I'm finished now, right? So I roll up to the locker room, and I'm going to go take a shower. Well, the showers in the old Redskins facility was just this little dump, right, okay, back in the day. And so the showers were actually down the hallway. And this hallway was probably about 10 feet wide, and you had to walk about 20, 30 feet to get to where the showers were. So, you know, I get undressed, I wrap my towel, and I head down to the showers. So I go do my shower and stuff, and then I go in, and Fridays I would shave and, you know, throw some deodorant on. So I'm walking out of the door of the shower, I get my towel wrapped around me, and going back to the locker room. And here comes Kevin Costner in an entourage of people with the photographer with him coming down the hallway. So at some point, we're going to meet in the middle of this hallway at about 15 feet in the middle, and, you know, it's going to be his entourage and me in a towel. So we're walking toward each other, right? And we just giving him all this grief. And I said, hey, Kevin. And he said, yeah. And I go, let me get one naked with you. And I dropped my towel and put my arm around him. I was butt naked. And dude, he got up from under my arm and ran down the hallway. And I was howling. And his people didn't think it was really funny. But I just thought it was the funniest thing ever. I mean, I am straight up butt naked. It was awesome. Just absolutely. Yes, go ahead, Scott.
I don't even know.
You don't know what to say?
Well, that can't fly these days. Yeah. Just say that.
You can't do that.
Hashtag.
That's hashtag me too.
Hashtag inappropriate. Yeah.
But I don't want your life.
Right, but here's the interesting thing. So I'm at the Super Bowl a couple years ago, the New York Super Bowl.
Yeah, because he did interviews. He was on Radio Row.
Right, he was on Radio Row. So I was doing a national nighttime show at the time, and he comes in. We had the greatest interview. He came in and did my show.
Did he remember who you were?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So we had this great interview, but I had told my partner, hey, let's not,
like, let's not bring it up because you don't want to get, you know, whatever. I just don't know how he's going to react. So he comes to sit down. He kind of gives me this look and goes, really good to see you again. He gets right in my face and goes, really good to see you again, Mark.
With your clothes on.
Right, yeah. Oh my God. That was the insinuation. But it was that's my best all-time celebrity story as a player. Oh, Scott is like, what is so funny now, Scott? Okay, here comes Scott again.
Okay, it just the more I think about it, like Kevin Costner thinks you're a predator.
This man is insane. Why does he keep following me around?
I don't like it. You know, I have told him since then that he's like, I want to do this Western. That's like my big thing next. Didn't he just do a Western, or is he coming out with a Western or something? And he said, He told me he'd put me in his next Western, and I think he's coming out with a Western, and I got no phone call.
You got no chance.
I got zero.
You're doing the no chance dance.
I got zero phone call. Well, hey, listen, yesterday at practice, we were out here. The offense stunk it up. They were awful. It reminded me of the last 2 years, Troy. Cause for concern. I'll clear the air next.